Good evening and welcome to another edition of That Friday Night Live. I'm joined by our usual guest, the one and only Neil Fisler. Good evening, Neil.
Evening, Mickey. Good evening, everyone. Hope everyone's had a good week, except for the football.
Happy St. George's Day as well to everyone. I've gone with a trend with the St. George's flag in the background, so happy St. George's Day to everyone, and hello to the chat. The chat's now open. If you've got comments, bang them in. We have got a guest we had on the last couple of weeks, the Young Succession, which has got his own YouTube. And this week, for something different, we are streaming on both our channel and the Young Kai's channel. Say hello to your viewers as well then, Kai.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're having a good. I've had a good week. Really looking forward to getting started.
We've got another guest on the show who's joining us. It's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon where he is. He's normally involved in the comments, normally insulting me. So I thought this week he's got a bit of time, and we welcome a good friend of mine, Stuart, all the way from California.
Hi, everyone.
So, question to you first then, Stu. Saturday's game.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of missed it because of time difference.
So we'll go to Kai and come back to you on a comment on there in a sec. Kai, because I know that Neil's going to rant and rave, so we'll take your views first. They'll probably be a bit more constructive.
Neil isn't going to rant and rave because Neil fell asleep watching it. So I saw about 15 minutes of it. Yeah. So from the 15 minutes I saw, it didn't look that bad, actually. But I fell asleep.
Oh, are we talking about Wednesday's game or Saturday's game?
Wednesday's game, unfortunately, I saw.
Yeah.
Let's go quite Saturday. Yeah, I meant Wednesday. We'll go Wednesday first.
The Omar's not here. It's falling apart, isn't it?
But even better if Kai could get a word in. Go on, Kai.
So Wednesday's game was, we were taught a lesson, weren't we? I think it was a mixture of whether injuries played a part, playing, back three of Pierce, Evans and Coops. We're going to have to agree with Neil here with Pierce. I think he's just a bit, he just lacks that initial burst of pace. And I think we, the Bournemouth attackers exploited that the other day. They were very, very good. I thought their neat interchange. We didn't get close enough to them. We didn't press as a unit as well as we should have done. But, they could have had a couple more. They had two offside goals, didn't they? So, it could have been more. But I think with a fully fit squad, I don't think we would have lost that game. I think probably would have been a lot tighter.
I think it was, to me personally, before I come to Neil, I thought it looked like an exhibition game. It looked like a pre-season game at best, and it looked like an exhibition game where we were basically taught a lesson, really. Neil?
We were outplayed in every phase of that game. It was absolutely fucking embarrassing. The defending wasn't even of a Sunday morning standard. Alex Pearce needs to fuck off out of this football club. Yeah? And hopefully the cunt has played his last game because he's fucking awful. He's got about as much mobility as my old deer on two fucking sticks.
Every player on Wednesday had a fucking mare. I agree with Barry. It was boys versus men. Do you know what I mean?
Bournemouth
were just on fire.
Yeah, but their squad is probably cost £150 million to put together. Ours probably cost £1.50 to put together. That's a difference. They had absolute quality players in virtually every position, and it told. We just lack the hunger, we lack the desire, we lack the wherefore to affect change. And unfortunately, by the time the manager had processed what was happening, it was far too late. He made a couple of changes at half time, change of formation slightly, and we improved for a little while, didn't we? We scored, I think, did we go close another couple of times? Kyle, remember. But then the fourth goal went in and that was it. We just didn't want it. We absolutely didn't want it. We are now officially counting down until the end of the season, until they can all go on holiday and then they can all forget about it until the start of next season.
Yeah, I think we're over. I mean, Stu, I mean, you obviously, like us over here this season, you watch obviously on iFollow being from over there. But I mean, what's your views on the current squad at the minute?
I mean, we've got some big holes, right? I mean, Alex Pierce, his legs are gone. Like, I don't know why they're not playing Evans in the back instead of him and having someone else with legs, maybe not Thompson in midfield. Again, like, even though they're playing Wallace up front and Bennett, they're not strikers. And then when he does play Zahor, which is a striker, he doesn't look interested. I think we need at least four or five new players in the summer.
Where do you think we need to sign? What do you think is the most important position we need to sign in?
Striker. And like a proper striker. Not a winger made striker. Someone who can... I mean, like, you know, if you give Bradshaw the service, he would score, but he's not a lone striker. You need someone up there with him, someone mobile. And obviously, Zahor doesn't seem that interested, and then Smith's injured. But Varson couldn't hit a cow's ass, could he? So.
Well, you say that. I mean, we're obviously wanting Bod to score some goals, because if he scores 15, then Omar, if you're listening or watching, obviously I know you're at work, but if you are watching, feel free to call in. We'll get you up. But he has to do a streak down the blue, so it'll be definitely interesting to do that. I mean, same question to you then, Kai. How many positions do you think we need to look at? What do you think is the most important position we need to find?
I think there's two, really. I think one's obviously your striker, as Stuart said. I think the other one is attacking midfield. I think we need someone who's going to link the play a little bit better. Can Leonard be that player? I don't know. He was starting to show glimpses of that, but you know, I think the only player that properly plays attacking midfield probably is Thompson. But you know, for all his hard work and desire, he doesn't. I don't think he has enough quality. Is probably what we need in that position. So I'd go and look at for strikers. I'd be looking at players like Johnson, Clark, Harris from Peterborough. I think he's a class player and players that are going to step up with ease, like Tony, for example. But the question is we need to get the sort of player that can score, you know, goals, but also help as well. Because like Tony, for example, I don't know if we were talking about this the other day, I can't remember, but Ivan Tony, I don't think he would probably suit our style of play, because he doesn't work hard enough. He doesn't win the second balls. He doesn't, you know, he's not physical enough. Whereas with Brentford, he can play like that. He can play like he does, because their football's incredible. So you've got to get a player that's going to suit our football. And for me, Clark Harris would be that player. He's strong, physical, and he's got a bit of good, quick turn of pace.
What's your view on the positions and who we need then, Neil?
We need to make wholesale changes, because it's quite obvious that the vast majority of this squad are not up to it. We need a centre-back, because it's obvious that Pierce has got no future. We need a central midfielder. We might need a left-back, depending upon if he's successful in signing Malone. We definitely need a couple of strikers, but is he going to have the funds to go out and spend all of that money? That's the thing. I think if he doesn't, we're going to go mid-table again next year, and we're all going to be frustrated. We're going to be talking about the same things this time next year. Yeah, but definitely needs to sort out the strike force to start off with.
100%.
I mean, we're just powder puff. Jed Wallace isn't a striker.
No.
Mason 100%. Bennett apparently is again injured or carrying an injury, isn't he?
Yeah, we'll come on Bravardson's, to those ones in a minute.
Bravardson's not up to it.
I mean, Barry's sitting there and says, look, thank fuck for Bart. Yeah, Bart, you know, I agree, Bart has been superb, but when he has a mare. I mean, a couple of those goals on Wednesday, I think personally, he could have probably saved them. I don't know if Horn is watching tonight or not, but, you know, I think there was a couple of those goals where he possibly stayed up a little bit too long and he could have possibly got his body in front of him. I don't know, but he just seems to, when he has a mare, he has a bit of a mare. But to be fair, they were walking the balls in, mate. They had no challenge getting those balls in. They were just literally, as I said, 10 minutes ago, it was an exhibition game. That's what it looked like. It looked more like an exhibition game than anything else.
Mate, to be honest, that first goal came from Pierce missing a header, didn't it?
Yeah.
And left us badly exposed.
Yeah. I mean, what's his name there? Charlie says, look, Pierce would be a good addition to the backroom team. No, do you think he would or not?
No. He's 31, yeah? We need somebody with attacking experience, not another defender. Rowett's a defender. The other lad, Barrett's a defender. He's too young, yeah? If he wants to come back in 3 or 4 years, yeah, maybe look at him. Yeah, but we can't keep on saying we'll put him on the coaching team. No, he's too young. Let's get rid of him. Get shot of him. Let's spend his wages in a more productive way.
I mean, Barry's sitting there saying there that he's seen somewhere that Wright ain't going to be doing a complete overhaul in the summer.
Rowett wasn't going to be playing Zorhaw again this season. And he was only going to be playing players that he thought had a future at the club. So if he's thinking of getting him back, we are well and truly fucked. Because he is probably the laziest cunt I've seen play for us in quite some time, to be quite frank.
Mickey, I think that comment came from News at Den today.
That's right, yeah.
I got an email came through saying about Rowett not going to do wholesale changes, but it feels like that's contradicting to the email that came out last week saying that he wants to do a whole bunch of changes.
I think personally the money ain't there. The club's not going to give him an open checkbook to sit, exactly. especially after the season we've had. I mean, he'd be lucky if the club, you know, might give him 5 million tied up with wages and everything else. But whether or not they're going to give him, they have a policy of keeping wages down, and wages are quite high at the minute. They're about 1.4 million a month. So, you know, if you think they're going to be signing a 5-10 million pound striker, proven striker, then no. I think they might try and find a striker from non-league or you know, lower down the leagues or something and hope that they can make it a bit like Gregory or Morrison has done in the past, or even, you know, Harris to a degree in the past. But I think it's a gamble to make. You need, to be in the Championship, you need a 20-goal-a-season proven striker at least. You need two or three players who can score 20 goals a season.
Mate, I thought I read the other week that he was saying that they were going to start looking abroad.
Well, they have to.
Abroad for a striker, which we've spoken about. We're on the same page on this, aren't we? Completely on the same page.
But the thing that gets me is, right, you've got Rhino over in Australia. You've got Dolan, haven't you? You've got... what's his name? Thingy Dolan, who we've done. He's in Australia. Yeah. Joe Dolan, he's in Australia. I mean, I bet there's some more of our players, ex-players, who are in America, New Zealand. They're spread out. Surely these guys would be ideal to tap up as scouts and just say, you know, look, you find a player, give us a heads up and go. I mean, Rhino brings kids over, or Joe brings kids over every year. And what's his name from... what's his name? You done him the other week. The big Denmark-Norway player.
Paul Huberts.
Paul Herberts. He brings up and coming kids. I mean, there must be players around the world, kids coming up around the world that we can nurture and possibly bring in. But we're not giving it to our own kids. You know, we've got kids in our youth team who we keep calling out for to play week in, week out, and we're not even getting them in there. I mean, what's your view on that then, Stu? That none of the youngsters seem to be getting a tap in?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, you've got to take it from the manager's point of view. Are they just not good enough, or is he not brave enough to give them a chance?
I actually agree with Stu. I don't think he's brave enough, to be honest with you. I think that Alexander has proved that he's worth a go.
Yeah.
And he keeps on saying the right things. He's multilingual and bullshit, this manager. He really is. He just comes out with whatever bollocks he thinks you want to hear this week. Yeah. He's like the manager of the football club down here when they got spanked by the spotters the other night. It wasn't his fault.
I mean, a couple of things what's come up on the chats. I mean, Kai, probably one for you here, because I think you've said about him before. Sam Vokes, can he do a job for us?
I don't know. He hasn't been.
Would he be too much money?
That's exactly what I was about to say. I feel like he's a bit overrated. Doesn't really do much for Stoke, and I like that O'Neill doesn't fancy him. So I just wonder whether we'd take a punt on him. But yeah, he's a proven player, isn't he? He's done it at the highest level. He's a really good player, but it's just whether you can get him service. And I think he probably suit our style of play. He's physical, he's strong. So yeah, I do agree with Darren there. Just whether we can afford his wages, I guess.
Neil,
Go on, Stuart.
I think the wages would be an issue on that one. What we need to do is, going back into the day, is finding the little gems like Morley or Armstrong, that sort of player that's under everyone else's radar, that's, you know, not going to quite make the first team of the clubs they're at. But, you know, I mean, because they both hit the ground running when they joined. I mean, he's someone quick up front as well, someone who can, like, you know, because defences don't like people with pace. Have you seen that with Bennett and Wallace?
Yeah, yeah.
We need a player like Chris Armstrong, maybe, that is pretty rapid, and then you can ping the balls over the top or get them down the channels and then get them running onto it.
I mean, another one now, I mean, that just sums it up, really, doesn't it? You know, why only no shots on goal in the first 45 minutes at home and only two in the next 45 minutes, which is really unacceptable. We should be having shots on goal, which again points to, you know, the front two. But I mean, going down to where we've got here, a question for you lot here is, where is it there? From Joe Zampa. Does Rowan need to sell Cooper and Jed Wallace to buy a few decent players on a good deal? Go to you first, Neil.
Well, we discussed this last week, didn't we? To be quite honest.
You think the club would let him know?
And I don't think that we'll probably get the money from, to be quite frank with you. The money that we'd got a year ago, it ain't going to be there now. Jed Wallace has got a year left on his contract. The time to sell Jed Wallace was in the summer. Not now. You're going to get half the value for him. You might as well sign him up to a three, four-year contract and then try and sell him either in January or this time next year. But to be honest, he flatters to deceive, I think, sometimes, Jed. I don't think he's good enough to play in the Premier League. So he's probably only playing at about his level. So will a club come in and pay £8, £9, £10 million for him? I don't think they will.
Stu, your views on that?
Yeah, same as Neil, really. I feel that we may have missed the boat on getting the big money. We should have sold them last year or the year before when, you know, there's reports of Rangers after Cooper. And the reports were like 15 million. And if you've got 15 for him and maybe 8 or 10 for Jed, then if that money's going to go into the squad and do what Brentford do, sell their best players, replace them with players that they can, you know, improve and then sell them again. But I don't know what you'd get from now. I mean, who's going to buy Cooper now if he's with a shoulder injury? He's going to go straight into surgery at the end of the season.
Yeah, he's
I've dislocated my shoulder before and they can take 6 to 8 weeks to recover. I mean, obviously, I'm not getting physio at a professional club every day, but They can take a while.
Yeah, but then I mean, that's also then perceived as a weakness, isn't it?
Oh, exactly,
In the medical.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's face it, again, Jake Cooper, he isn't going to go for the kind of money that we think that he's going to go for.
Right.
So, and as you say, we do have a habit of hanging on to our players for far too long. Yeah. When they've got a high resale value, we kind of missed the boat on it, I think, as Barry said in the chat.
I mean, Richard Lacey's got a point as well. I mean, before we come to Richard Lacey, I mean, Kyle, what's your views on selling Cooper and Jed?
I read somewhere, actually, on Stuart's point, I read somewhere that he's actually not going to have an operation. I can't remember where I read that. I don't know where it was, maybe a couple of weeks ago before they came back into the squad. I don't know whether it said he's going to just battle on or whether, I'm not sure. He might have one at the end of the season. I could be totally wrong there. But firstly, I think you have to replace them, which is not easy to find someone ready-made at this level to fill their boots. And, you know, with Cooper, I think probably Cooper's in his, apart from the shoulder, of course, I think Cooper's probably coming up to his prime years. So whether you could get good money for Coots, but you wouldn't get anything where you'd got Jed, as you said, 12, 18 months ago. So, no, I agree with, I don't know, I think we've missed the boat on Jed, as you've all said, but Cooper, maybe it's the time to sell. But I really like Cooper.
I mean, going on to that point there, where he's obviously, right, don't like kids, it's clear, is too safe and would rather draw than lose, goes on to there as in, why haven't they loaned Alexander out?
It's probably a good point. It depends on whether or not anybody was interested in him online.
But would they you be sent looking him to fill him out, though? I mean,
didn't they, at the start of the season?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, did he go to Concord Rangers for a few weeks?
He went out there for a couple of months, wasn't it?
But he was suspended, I know he was suspended for about a month, wasn't he, after being sent off. But I think the ideal time is to play him now.
Well, he brought back from Concord before they went to the final. Didn't they get a cup final and he got brought
back?
Yeah,
they went to the FA Trophy final, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, but didn't he score in the semi-final, something like that?
I think he did.
But it's a good question. Maybe Rowett hasn't wanted him to go out on loan. He's also had some personal issues, so probably couldn't go out on loan. Obviously, his grandfather died. So,
I mean, the question what I've got is how much control does Rowett have over the academy, and how much is it down to, you know, the people who run the academy? Because, I mean, you know, we're bringing this up with Charlie's raised, and it gets raised all the time. He wasn't thought to be a cracking player at the time, and that could be a lot of things. I mean, if you read Michael Calvin's book about the agents and all that, I mean, no one wanted to touch Sterling from where he come from, his attitude at the time, everything else. Now look at him. So, I mean, it could have been that he just needed to grow up a bit. Maybe his attitude wasn't right. No club wanted to take a gamble on him. He's gone away, put his head down, got himself back into it and done. I mean, you know, when we spoke to Cherno again, you know, Cherno said, you know, his head weren't in it, he weren't there. So I mean, at that sort of age, do you possibly fall out of love and then regain? Is that why we got rid of him? Because, you know, allegedly he's not a bad player now, is he?
I think we fucked up. I think that, I think it's openly accepted that Harris didn't like him and released him. And it's come back to bite us spectacularly in the fucking arse, that one, hasn't it? Let's face it.
I mean, one day, I mean, what's his name, disagrees with us on the youth because he's playing McNamara and Mitchell. But are they looking at them more as future team players in the positions they're playing in? I mean,
they're more senior, aren't they? Yeah, but they're more senior, I think, than... Yeah, McNamara went out on loan and I think he was forced to play Mitchell, wasn't he? Because everyone else was injured. And he'd integrated Mitchell last season, I think Kyle remember.
Yeah.
Better than anyone else. He integrated him at various times last season, didn't he? So he's been in and around the squad. I mean, like Richard Pearce's thing above, actually.
Well, no.
You were above that one.
I was going to say, yeah.
that one there. We've scored one in our last three. Can we not look at some attack-minded youngsters in the last games of the season now? Nana Boateng, Abdul Malik, George Alexander, etc. Well, Abdul Malik can't even start for the reserves, can he? Yeah, Abdul Malik has only been making the bench, and maybe somebody will correct me on that.
I think that's right now. I think that's right. With Nana Boateng, he looks a special talent. I watched him last year. I think it was when the under-18s made the Chelsea game in the semi-finals or something, or quarter-finals, whatever it was. He was a very, very good player. He's lightning quick, and I absolutely agree with Richard Pearce. I think that Abdul Malik and these players and Nana Boateng, they need to be given a chance, because some of these players, you know, they come into the team. Look, I think Reading, for example, I think it's Holmes that plays right back. He never played professional football before with one of their players, and he came in this year. He's now, you know, sort of playing either, you know, right back or on the bench, but he's come back here, he's come in and he's given them so much depth in that position. So yeah, I do agree with Richard Pearce.
Yeah, well, that might answer why they've not been involved.
No, possibly. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a few possibly there, but I mean, it all comes down to that, though. Realistically, our scouting system is shite. Whether or not Alex was pushed, left, sacked, whatever, and a new guy come in, and hopefully, you know, it's going to change. There's got to be fundamentals over the last so many years. What are issues? I mean, to be fair, the academy hasn't been going that many years, to be fair. I'm hearing that we've got some great young kids coming through, 7, 8, 9-year-olds. There's a few that watch us on here. Coming up, there are some really good youngsters. Speaking to some of the academy guys who look after that age group, allegedly we're doing that. But don't forget, Kenny Jackett shut the academy. So, you know, the academy, because of money and everything else, got closed down to a degree. And then it's just literally being rebuilt. So, to me, we should be loaning these kids out, getting them loads and loads of practice, and then bedding them in the club. If we can't bed them in the club, we need to make sure that they're being shown to the world and then sold. If we're not going to use them, we should be selling them. Stu?
Right, but this is where you said about the scouting system. You've got to remember that we also compete with the likes of Chelsea, Palace, Tottenham, Arsenal, you know, Fulham, all bigger clubs. I think we're obviously not the most desirable club, but this is where if the managers were playing the youngsters and getting them out on the field and showing that there's a clear, quick path to the first team if you're good enough, that could make us more desirable.
Yeah.
But want players to come and say, look, we've got 8 youth team players in the first team or whatever it is. In 2 years, it could be you rather than going to Chelsea or Man City or whoever and never be seen again.
I agree with you. I think, you know, especially if we had a decent scout. I mean, every player we've done an interview with recently, or Neil's done an interview with recently, they all turned around and spoke highly of Bob Pearson.
Right.
Right. And he was fundamental during, you know, our prime time of getting some good youth and everything else in. He was fundamental in. He would go around, speak to the parents, tell them, you know, how good Millwall is. Join Millwall. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. We do everything, blah, blah, blah. And he was getting players left, right, centre, wasn't he?
Yep.
Neil, right? And he was getting players left, right, centre.
Yeah, he was a very, very, very good talent spotter, Bob Pearson. The club has got Bob Pearson doesn't get the credit that he deserves. But it was like that back then. Clubs produced their own players. Millwall needs to get back to that. And I partly actually agree, or in fact, I fully agree, that if Millwall was seen as a club that plays youngsters and gives youngsters a chance, gives them a chance in the first team, we'd find it a lot easier to sign the better ones. You're in the first place.
That's but a good comment. Kyle, what do you take on that comment there?
It's interesting, isn't it? I think with Bure, I think there's clearly some talent there, and he's, you know, he's so quick. You can, when he gets on that ball, you can see he's got real good pace. Just think with his technical side of things, I just think he needs to, you know, just sort of improve that a bit more. And I think also he could probably improve a bit physically as well. I think sometimes he can be pushed to the ball a bit too easily. But you can see there's some raw talent there. We've just got to keep developing him and keep giving him chances, because if we do, and he'll end up paying off, and you know, it could be a real gem, because we got, I don't know how much we paid for him in the end, but I don't think it was very much, was it?
No,
Matt, I also think he doesn't fit into the way, to the formation that we're playing at the minute.
I agree that, yeah.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, well, he'd fit in a lot more if we actually played two wingers, wouldn't he? And you could play him on one side and somebody else on the other, but we're not playing that at the moment. So that's probably why we're not playing him more.
I mean, on that position, because all three of you then went, yeah, you know, I agree with you. So, I mean, ideally, what position? We know what position Omar would want. To me, I just want him to fucking play a position and fucking score goals and win games. But start with you, then, Stu. What positions do you think really, or what formations should we be playing?
I mean, I don't know. That's a tough one, because 4-4-2 has always been traditional Millwall, right? But that feels like that's a dying breed of a formation nowadays. The teams are overloading the midfield with three. When we do it, it doesn't seem to make that much of a difference most of the time. And then we've got no outlet for the strikers. You play one up front with two wide, which, okay, works on FIFA. But, you know, when you've got Zahor up front and then you've got Wallace that can't cross most of the time, and they're playing so far apart, they've got no one to link up with. The front person, whoever that may be. If you're going to play two wide, they need to be a bit closer. You can't have them playing wingers and expect them to get in the box at the same time. And then the three midfielders, you know, sometimes we're playing three defensive midfielders, like Woods. I like him. I think he's being played out of position. He's got a great pass. We've got Kifton Bell now, which obviously can play that holding midfield role. And then Leonard is a defensive midfielder from back in the day. And then you've got Evans, also a defensive midfielder. So really, apart from Mitchell and Thompson, we haven't really got any going forward, if you know what I mean. Getting up the pitch to support the front guys.
Kai, your idea on formation?
I'd like to see a 4-3-3, really. I think with someone, you know, just supporting them attackers more. And I just wonder, thinking this the other day, I wonder if Tyler Bury could play that role in behind the striker, attacking midfield. Because, you know, if you give him less responsibility, you see Thompson when he went to Portsmouth and when he came back to Millwall, as soon as you gave him more less responsibility, he was so much better. He had less freedom. He had more freedom. He didn't have to sort of work back. And I just wonder if Tyler Bury was given that role. I wonder if he'd be able to affect the game more.
Neil?
I think, what I want to see and what the manager or player, two different things totally, aren't they?
I agree with that.
Yeah, he's actually shown that he isn't flexible when it comes to formations, and that he likes his five, whatever it is. 4-3-3 is fine with me. 4-4-2, traditional man, me. Maybe. But at the end of the day, it's up to what the manager wants to play. And our manager is a five at the back man. He's shown that three central defenders and your two wing backs. He will play that formation. And I think as Barry says a little bit further down, it's more about the personnel than the formation.
No, I agree with that. I mean, Du Bois seems, obviously, Du Bois in the chat watching us on YouTube, he seems to have a bit of an inside knowledge on the youth. You know, like Abdul turned 18 a couple of days ago. 17-year-old Abdul isn't going to be starting ahead of a 21-year-old Alexander, realistically. Alexander will be loaned out, released, then he will step up next year. And that there, Jason Sancho, grew up and played in Bermondsey. No way should a team in Manchester see him before we do. I agree, but if we've not got that desire to play youth, or there's no real possibility, someone's going to want to develop themselves and sit in a large team where the chance of them playing is next to nothing.
Yeah, but Jadon Sancho might have been pushed towards there by a family member. We don't know what the situation was. He could have had an agent from the age of bloody 13 pushing him. You just don't know.
I mean, that's a good point there. If we do play too many of these youngsters, would we turn into being a selling game again, like we were before, where we used to sell a hell of a lot of our better players rather than bedding them?
Well, one thing's for sure, I don't think he'll play a lot of youngsters tomorrow because we're going to get hammered, aren't we, tomorrow? Let's face it.
Well, that was on Twitter earlier from Jake Saunders. So Millwall allegedly would be without Murray Wallace, Hutchinson, Ferguson, Leonard, Thompson and Smith for the Watford game tomorrow, whilst Malone and Jed Wallace are doubtful too. We pretty much might as well just sit back and let them score as many goals as they want, really.
Yeah, we can see that we're going to nick this 1-0, can't you? we're going to absolutely nick this 1-0. But
so if Jed Wallace is injured, who do you play out wide?
Good question.
So are we going to go for Mahoney, or are they going to play McNamara right midfield, because then you could have Romeo behind him?
Stick to his formation, and that is three central defenders and two in mid and his wing backs. Yeah, but it's interesting. What's he going to do? Because he hasn't got anybody for the left, has he?
I mean, Richard Lacey's made a good point there. What you were saying about, you know, if Jed is, I mean, says there, Bury looks like a young Jimmy Carter, but Jed's there. If Jed's not there tomorrow, would he possibly swap him for Bury?
I think he'll have to. I think there aren't too many other options, are there?
I think he'll go Mahoney.
Yeah, so do I. So I think he'll go.
Yeah, but he's running out of options. Yeah, but he's running out of options for tomorrow, isn't he? Let's face it. Fucking hell, Mickey, yeah, if me and you take our boots, we might get a game, the way it's standing.
If I leave now, I could be there in time for kickoff.
Exactly. Yeah, well, all of those injuries, yeah, but can you play left-back? Because by the looks of things, yeah, but he hasn't got a left-back for tomorrow because...
And he's loaned Tientra out, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, that's now coming back to bite him in the arse, isn't it? He sent Tientra down to... Is it Sutton United he sent him down to?
Down to Marvin Williams.
And now all of a sudden he hasn't got a left-back, has he?
No.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
Before we look fully into Watford tomorrow and get views and scores and all that lot, just one thing before we move forward from someone on the chat. I don't think... Where is it? Someone mentioned about Bobby Bowery, about, you know, maybe we should have a chat with Bobby Bowery. I don't think Bobby relationship there, look, need to tap into someone like Bobby Bowery. I don't think Bobby and the club have a great relationship.
Bobby's an agent now, isn't he?
Exactly. I think that's the point he's getting to. Yeah, I think the point he's getting to. But I'm interested on this next bit. I know Neil don't want to talk about it to a degree, but it's happened and it needs to talk. And I'm interested in Stu as well there. I mean, obviously, it's guided me in with this comment, which we'll come back to in a sec. But your view, Stuart, of your use to the American setup of sport, where no one gets relegated, no one gets promoted, everyone stays in the same table as such. No competition. It's just pretty much everyone wins. Obviously, I know that the NFL, everyone's on set wages, blah, 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 and the draft obviously there to compensate for that. But what's your views of the football here with the European Super League? How's it been reported over there?
No one's talking about it over here. I mean, they do have Sky Sport News, basically what you guys get, the 2 hours every morning, and they're all over that. But in the regular news and stuff, no one's talking about it. It's not a big deal. But like as you said, the American setup for sports, I've spoken to quite a few parents. My son plays baseball and stuff, about like the relegation in the sports in Europe and the rest of the world, and they've all agreed that that'd be more exciting for teams to get relegated. But you know, leagues and tiers and stuff, but it's not set up like that. It's a franchise rather than sports. Like, you know, like
it's a money making exercise.
Yeah, totally.
It?
Yeah. All the sponsors and like, you know, like with the Major League Soccer, as they call it, you know, won any team any year could win it. And like, you know, if you're the worst team in the league one year, then you get the best pick of the players the next year. So they try and keep it even on that side. But for me, I'm not a huge into American sports. Like, you know, I'm learning baseball at the minute because my son plays it and my daughter plays softball. Other than that, I watch the Super Bowl, but I don't really care who wins it. And we'll watch the baseball, the World Series, which again, always ask a question to the American friend. Like, why do you call yourself world champions when you're the only country playing it? And they've never got an answer for me.
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, the thing what I find funny with this, before I come to you, Kai, and then I'll come on to Neil, I know you don't want to talk about everything. The thing what I find funny about this is that Sunday, Monday, all of a sudden this broke. This is what's going to be happening. And then we are now Friday, less than 4 days into when this broke. Everyone's pulled out. It's no longer going ahead. We've had apologies from a Liverpool chairman. We've had apologies from the Manchester United chairman, Liverpool owner. We've had Manchester United chairman resigning from loads of different bits and pieces. We've had Arsenal make an apology. We've had the Arsenal owner come out today, say he's not selling Arsenal, basically piss off. But how these people so badly read the fans' views, opinions on football in the UK fucking absolutely shocked me. I don't know how stupid people can be. So, I mean, Kai, what's your views on all the bullshit we're having this week with European Super League? I take it you weren't for it.
Nah, definitely not. It moved so quickly, didn't it? Sunday night, it was happening. Tuesday night, they were all pulled out. I think they were naive to believe that the fans would take it well. I think it was clear that no fans would ever want to, would never take this, because, you know, it just ruins the English game and the whatever the sport that we love. You know, firstly, with the Big Six, what they wanted to do, I was listening to Sky Sports, they wanted to, you know, get the $300 million that they're going to get to go there and then bring it back to the Premiership and still play next year, which is obviously going to massively divide the teams that are receiving the $300 million cash installments every year. And, you know, that's so unfair. It's going to massively create such a gap. And yeah, I just thought it was really bad what they were trying to do. But I was definitely pleased to see them all pull out eventually and to come to their senses.
I'll leave Neil in this one. I thought it was highly amusing that someone like Sky Sports were so fucking as if they were on the fans' side when, let's be honest, if it weren't for Sky in, what, 94, this is what fucked football up. Going back that many years, to be fair, and then all of a sudden they feel bereaved because someone wants to run something else, probably without inviting them to the table. Neil?
I've got nothing to say about the fucking European Super League. I don't give a shit about it, yeah? Yeah, well, I'm a Millwall fan. As long as I can watch Millwall, let those cunts fuck off and do what they want. Now,
yeah, but would it have benefited? Say, for instance, the Super League took place, right? Right, the Super Six, even though Arsenal's middle of the table, the Super Six get expelled from the Premier League. What happens to the league this season?
I don't give a fuck about it, mate.
Yeah, would we go up?
Yeah, well, it ain't happening. Let's move.
Okay,
on.
Fair enough. But what would happen? Yeah, well, that's what I'm asking. Would Millwall go up if the Super Six got pulled?
Got nothing to say on it, mate.
Well, it was an interesting point, wasn't it? Because they were talking about, you know, how would it work with the EFL? Because obviously six clubs would have to replace them. And would we go up? Would there be nine teams in the playoffs, or would just the top six go up? I don't know. It would all be interesting to see what would happen. But ultimately, I'm pleased that it didn't happen.
Part of me wanted it to happen. Get rid of all the big six so we actually get a chance to maybe go up. But like, realistically, like it was going to be terrible for football. It's just the rich getting richer. There's all the smaller clubs are going to get left behind. There's no way these clubs are going to be sharing $300 million with lower teams. They didn't want to even bail out the Football League when the pandemic was on.
No. I mean, final point before we go to Belsham, right? My question, my thing on this is look, right, it made me die, right, that these six, what they wanted to do was renegotiate on a Champions League purse. That's what this was all about, was renegotiating on there. And then they actually thought, actually, we're going to look at something a little bit different to make us a bit more extra money. The trouble is, all of a sudden, it backfired. Sky, I think, are hypocritical cunts, because it weren't many months ago that they wanted to suddenly rake in money on the back of the pandemic by charging people 15 quid a time what they were splitting with the teams what were playing. No one wanted to play fucking 15 quid to see Burnley play Brighton, for fuck's sake. But they wanted to sit there and try and charge people extra. Now, all of a sudden, it's someone doing stuff without them. They are suddenly rounding on the likes of Jamie Redknapp, you know, Carrigan, fucking Neville, anyone they could get hold of to sit there and throw an opinion out. The government are in the shit at the moment with everything going on. So, again, there's another bandwagon what they wanted to jump on and go, oh, this is really bad, this is really bad. The only benefit what's come out of this is something what I know what the FSA have been doing for probably the last 18 months, if not longer, is screaming out for a fan-led review on ownership. That really we should be looking at the German way of ownership, where fans own the majority of the club so that rich owners or whatever can never fuck over the club and get rid of the heritage, which works perfectly over in Germany. Whether or not it work here or not, I don't know, but it's a way to do. The only benefit out of all of this in the space of 4 days is that all of a sudden it's gone from that being on the peripheral where no one really wanted to listen to it, a bit through the pandemic where the Premier League were fucking smaller clubs off. It was a little bit bringing itself up. But that's now been brought right to the front of the queue. And now the government are suddenly pushing and going, right, this is where we're going. We're calling people in to talk about this and everything else. That's the only benefit out of this. The rest of it, we knew that Sky was snidey cunts. We knew that BT Sports were snidey cunts. We knew that all these owners, the big owners, were all snides with it, mate. And that's it.
Mate, can I just make one point? Yeah, as for the charging of £15, why shouldn't they fucking pay to watch their games? We do, and we pay for a far inferior fucking product. They were getting their games off a world feed, which is virtually Sky anyway.
Yeah, but we pay £10, right? Yeah, we pay £10.
They were only paying £5 more for a far better product. Production. Well, ours looks like it's filmed on the fucking iPhone and the commentary's on the fucking iPhone.
No, I agree with you.
Disgraceful the other night. So why shouldn't they fucking pay? Yeah, they should pay. Yeah, everybody thinks, oh, yeah, the Premier League will fucking cry. And, yeah, but those cunts, they ran campaigns so they didn't pay more than £20 at an away game. But they don't give a fuck that we're paying 45 at Ipswich to sit behind a fucking post.
So this is what I'm saying to you. There is no thing. Before the pandemic, we were paying £10 to watch iFollow. Stuart pays a fiver.
I buy the season pass.
Yeah. Which is like $120.
Yeah.
So it's about £120, isn't it?
Something like that.
So there's already iFollow was always for overseas views, not for the UK. So it was over for overseas views, pure intentional, because they never wanted this mass volume what they've had. So all of a sudden, when they've got it, they use the cameras what are in the stadium. There's a 4K camera what they use for TV highlights, etc., what they record it on. They're using that one camera based in the centre of the fucking of the stand, so you were never going to get high quality thing because no TV company is going to suddenly invest that much money to put two or three cameras in a ground. You know, the only reason Sky and all that do because they make so much more money through the adverts and everything else. I can't see iFollow be making that.
No, well, it's all taken off the world feed. It's to do with the Premier League productions. Mm. They produce it because they sell. Yeah, well, Stuart can probably watch every Premier League game anyway, can't you, over there? I know you can in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
South African Super Sport show every game. Yeah, well, I'm not going to say that because I've actually got IPTV, so I know, basically.
Yeah, a lot of the Premier League games over here, it was on NBC Sports, and now it's split off onto Amazon and Peacock, which is like you've got to subscribe for that. So there's not as many games on as it was like a year or two ago, that's for sure.
So before we got into our phone, the other thing what was there, what all of that started to is, are we lucky to have Berylson as our chairman? He's American, I know, but he's definitely not here for, he's definitely not here to put us into a Super League and rake money that way. But he's got to get his money back at some point. I think he's been good so far. He's invested £70 million in the club over, 10, 11 years. So he's there. But will he ever give us that final big check to make a couple of big signings? That's the question. I think John's nice. I know John on a personal level, and I think he's a nice fella.
Mate, I think John Berylson's been fantastic for this club, considering the cunt we had in before him, yeah, who wanted a fucking turn
wheel lines.
Yeah, and that fucking moron that stood in the fucking middle of the pitch at that game with a microphone put on the fucking shirt and thought we were all going to fucking love him. Yeah. De Savary, wasn't it? And all of that lot. John Berylson has done a fantastic job for this football club. Yeah, quite what's in it for John Berylson, nobody knows. I suspect it's something to do with regeneration. And there's ton of money to be made around that. But good luck to him. He's kept the club going when, quite frankly, some other chairman would probably have washed their fucking hands of us and walked away when things have gone a bit wonky at certain games. But John, I've got nothing but admiration for John Berylson. But is he going to give the manager that money that maybe would take us to the next level? I don't think so. That's the only thing I would say.
I agree. I mean, Kai, what's your... I mean, to be fair, probably Berylson's the only you really know, isn't it?
Definitely. I was just about to say that. I was going to say, I don't know anything what's going on. But my granddad sort of filled me in a little bit. But yeah, I think John Berylson, from what I've seen and what I've heard from other owners, he's fantastic. You know, he puts his, you know, he stands by this football club. And I think actually, if you watched an interview with him a couple of months ago, in the actual first lockdown, he said that he came into it, he wasn't really sure what was going to happen. He, you know, he wasn't sure, you know, whether he's going to get attached to it. In fact, he said that he was attached. He's attached to us now. He loves the club. And you know what? Fair enough. You know, he's a really good chairman. He's only done good stuff for us. I absolutely agree with what Neil said.
Sure. Yeah, what we need to remember was we had a Mickey Purser in the 60s who, if he didn't have enough stock for his car showroom on the old Kent Road, used to sell a player so he could own the car auctions. Yeah. So we're in no position to moan about John Berylson, are we?
Sure. I think he's been great. I mean, what more could you ask for? My only real comment would be is if he does want to get some money back from the club, he needs to invest to get us in the Premier League. Not that I really want us in there, because for one season it would be nice for the money. But like if he wants to recoup some of that money, maybe this is a year he needs to invest to push us on, like regardless of the region.
Well, see, that's the thing with the regen. I don't know. I'm hearing that Renewal are just about to submit new plans. We've been sitting on our drawings for, 18 months, 2 years? And have we actually submitted full planning permission yet? I don't think we have, which is a concern. But again, it's a lump of money. What, you know, it's going to cost them probably best part of maybe £1-2 million to submit those plans and pre-planning and everything else. But what you don't want is to get back in the same position we were in before, where Renewal's submitting plans and using the old chestnut of going, well, look what we've done. They still haven't done nothing. And, you know, that's the position what you definitely don't want to need to be done it. So, yeah.
But couldn't it be a case of Millwall don't want to show their hand first? Maybe there's a bit of brinkmanship going on there.
I don't know. I mean, my real job is I work within construction. And over the last a year, 18 months, things have been getting thrown up. The construction industries love the fact that people aren't near leisure centres. Leisure centres have been close, and new leisure centres are going up double quick. The school work has been going up double quick. New builds are going up double quick. You just go round Nine Elms and all round there down Vauxhall. Things have been thrown up over the last year. The whole landscape has changed so much because no one's around. So it's easy. No commuting. You don't have to worry about traffic as much. You can just start piling stuff up. And that would probably be the time to start, you know, ploughing stuff up. But again, without the planning permission, without everything else, it is what it is. But yeah, I don't know. Look, we're coming towards the end. So we'll tap onto the game tomorrow against Watford. We'll come to you first, Stuart. Predictions and
4-0 loss.
Who do you think he's going to play? If thing, now that's going to be the work one. That's going to be the hard one for you. But what's going to be your team to play tomorrow?
Well, same back three. It'd be Cooper, Pierce, and then who else is left? I don't know. Have we got any more defenders left?
Yeah, well, that Sal's going to be fucking lipping his lips at the thought of again Alex Pierce marking him tomorrow.
Right.
But he won't sleep tonight with fucking trembling with fear, will he? The poor little cunt. He'll be fucking, he'll be coming down with a case and a Millwall flu in the morning.
No, I don't know. It's going to be tough. I mean, if Wallace is injured, then he's going to have to go Mahoney. And then Zahor up front, maybe, like he did on Wednesday.
Yeah, Bavardson will play somewhere. He's got to, hasn't he? Yeah, but he didn't. But did he come off the bench on Wednesday night? No, I don't think he did. No. Did he? So
maybe he'll play him left back.
Fucking hell! Yeah, but he can't do. Yeah, but he can. Yeah, but let's face it. Yeah, but he won't do any damage up front. So we might as well fucking try and play him somewhere.
Yeah.
Kai.
Gonna go with. I'll go with the lineup first. I'll go with, obviously Barton goal. Evans, Pierce, Cooper. And I reckon Malone and Jed will be fine, I reckon. I don't know, but I've got a feeling
they'll be all right. Games.
I don't know. I think with Jed's always battles on, doesn't he? He always seems to be okay. So I reckon Jed will be all right. And Malone had an injury a couple of weeks ago and he played on. So I hope they'll both be all right. Maybe it's just hopeful thinking, but we'll go with them in the lineup. We'll go McNamara and Malone. Then I'm sorry about this, Neil, but I'm going to go Woodson, Keith and Bell plus Mitchell. And then go with Jed and Bennett up top. But here's a question for Neil quickly. I'll also go with 1-0, a 1-0 defeat. But I'll go with a quick question for Neil. On Wednesday night, we were talking about the back five earlier. We were saying about how Rao was quite rigid in his thinking with his back five. Do you actually think that we defended better as a four?
I think we played a little bit better as a four, didn't we, at the start of the second half? Yeah, well, I know the damage was done by then.
Yeah.
But at least it looked as if we were going to do something. I know we got back into the game, and I think if we'd have scored a second goal a little bit soon, if we could have got a second goal, it would have made it interesting, or at least not let them score a fourth. But I agree. I think that he's too slow to effect change. He should have. There's three or four times, I think you agree, this season, Kai, where he should have changed things and he's been too slow. I think Middlesbrough was another one where we were getting absolutely arse raped. We were, weren't we? And he just didn't change the formation until it was far, far too late.
No, I agree.
He seems to be very reluctant to admit he's wrong. But I actually agree with you. I think that I'd like to see us play with a four at the back because well, let's face it, well, we're playing with four at the back even with Pierce in there, aren't we? Because he's got no pace. I can't see what he brings to the squad, actually.
No, I agree.
So, we're looking at a 4-0 loss tomorrow. I don't think it'll be a 4-0 loss, but I definitely think we're going to lose tomorrow. I don't think.
I think Watford
need the result, don't they? Because it's between, they're fighting up the top end, don't they? So they need to stay up there. It'll be interesting to see, because I think I remember doing a show beginning of the season where we wrote off all the ex-prem sides and saying that they weren't going to do well this season because they come off a bad season last year. But they've all seemed to have performed this season. Man, I'll probably have to dig out a clip for next week's show to some of the comments what were made by various different platforms on the show, where literally they were all writing off Norwich, Bournemouth, Watford, etc. But they performed. They're performing so far. So yeah,
mate. I think what's key tomorrow is that we get off to a good start, and we don't concede an early goal. Yeah, I think if we're fairly tight at the back, we tend to stay fairly tight at the back. We can be very, very difficult to break down when we want to be. I wouldn't expect to see us be too ambitious in attack, because I think he'll think that we could get caught on the break. And I think we're going to lose, but I'm hoping it's only 1-0, 2-0. Because they need to win to get promoted, don't they, tomorrow? I think I'm right in saying.
Yeah, I think, yeah, they need to win tomorrow. I think it's 2-0 they need to win or whatever to get promotion. But yeah, well, it looks as if, you know, there's talk of the Husky takeover by Dave saying that's what we need. I don't think that will happen just yet. But the Berylson thing will come on. Not long left now to the end of the season. Even less time left for the end of this show. Look, I'd like to say thank you very much to Stuart for taking the time out of his afternoon. We'll have to get you back on going forward. A lot of the videos we do, Stu makes them. So if you like them, that's the face we've done. If you don't like it, just remember his face. There we go. Thanks very much for Neil to joining us again. Thanks very much for Kyle. If you're watching on Kyle's channel, then thank you very much. Whether or not you watch this, Kyle, yeah. But you've been calling him Kyle.
No, it's you that's called him Kyle the whole evening. I know he's called Kai.
It's Kai, yeah. But fucking hell, you threw me there. So, yeah, we're all done, dusted for another week. If you're listening back on this, and Kyle, we are That Millwall Podcast every Friday night at 8 o'clock. Just one thing. It looks as if the European Super League debacle isn't over yet. Looks like it's going off at Arsenal. So we're done for another week. Thank you very much. We will see you. That's the best one there. We will see you again next week. This will be up for a podcast shortly. So if you are listening on that, I loaded it up correctly. So thanks very much. See you next week.
Yep.